We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And there are a million team building books on the market. There are very few, if any, that I've ever seen that talk about soft skills within the context and experience of working at a federal agency. There is, for that reason, there is one that I think you should be aware of. It's called How NASA Builds Teams, Mission Critical Soft Skills for Scientists, Engineers, and Project Teams. The author is Charlie Pellerin, and he is my guest. Dr. Pellerin, thank you for being on the program today. It's nice to have you.
My pleasure, Francis.
A little blurb in the back of your book says you have a PhD in astrophysics, and you're the former director of NASA's Astrophysics Division.
That's true.
And talk about your experience at NASA as a team builder kind of in general, and why you think it gives you a unique insight for people who are trying to do this in all kinds of organizations.
Well, you know, I was actually quite fortunate. Had a 30-year wonderful career as a government employee. Moved up in the ranks very quickly and found myself running a billion-dollar program with $2 billion of support services, the astrophysics division. Everything's going well. I launched 11 satellites. They all worked fine. The 12th one was arguably the biggest scientific screw-up in history, which was launching Hubble Space Telescope with a flawed mirror. And if things weren't bad enough, when the failure review board reported to the Congress how we spent 15 years and $1.7 billion to build a telescope that wouldn't work, they named it a leadership failure, and I was leader of the program.
Whoops.
So, this all had a happy ending. I put together the mission that fixed the telescope and got a second outstanding leadership medal. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you can break something and then get a medal for fixing it, but that's how things go sometimes. I got very curious. I had a payload actually in the cargo bay of Challenger. It wasn't part of what caused the accident, but for a time there it wasn't clear. And I had many friends who worked on Challenger's solid rocket boosters and felt horribly for them when I watched what happened there. And I actually ended up being sort of the number three person in NASA and decided I wanted to do something else. And so I decided to devote myself as a matter of sort of paying back NASA and society to try and understand how technical team failures occurred and how you could prevent them. And so I managed to get a professorship at the Business School at University of Colorado and begin to investigate these things. And what I found initially was actually quite unexpected, that when you read what happens with every technical failure, every system failure, every space failure, where review boards really get into it, you find it's always a social shortfall that's at root cause, and I've come to name this social team context. So I've been working ever since 1995 to figure out how to measure and manage that which most people believe is unmeasurable and unmanageable. So about right after Columbia disintegrated, I got a rather large NASA contract to use our system, which is a very efficient set of assessments that take 15 minutes and workshops and coaching to help NASA teams improve performance. And so I've now got things that are, I believe, more efficient by orders of magnitude even, and more effective than anything anyone's ever seen. And probably my best asset was I was not from the field, so I was not encumbered by sort of the conventional wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So about 3 years ago, people ask me occasionally to write a book. About 3 years ago, we were doing some data analysis. And by the way, just to give you some idea of the scope, over the past, since 2003 when we started, we have worked with 700 NASA teams. And I'm talking about the people that operate the space station and launched a space shuttle and put rovers on the surface of Mars. And all this has been completely voluntary. And so I was studying these data, and I came across this amazing chart. And what it showed was that with these team reassessments that require 15 minutes to complete, we are boosting team performance 5% every cycle. And so you take 5% of imagine if you could have 5% more money in your budget or work 5% more efficiently every month with a process that took 15 minutes to do, and then an hour to brief the team leader and an hour or two for the team to talk about it. I said, at this point, this is something I've got to give to the world. So that's when I stopped and wrote this book.
The book is called How NASA Builds Teams. Charlie Pellerin, the author of it, former director of NASA's Astrophysics Division. You talked about some of the challenges, shall we say, that you encountered in your career. As you talk to team leaders about building their teams, do you find that they are well-equipped or not well-equipped for those challenges, or maybe we just call them failures? Are they ready to deal with those, or are they so focused on trying to avoid them that they don't spend much time thinking about how to manage them?
Well, let me tell you, here's the difficulty. The teams that I work with mostly have technical people with advanced degrees. These are engineers and scientists and managers, often have master's degrees, PhDs, MBAs, all these things. When you spend enough time in a university where nothing is valued except individual accomplishment, in fact, I think in my experience in university, the synonym for teamwork was cheating. And so you put someone in this environment until they're old enough to first graduate, get their degree, then work their way up to be a team leader. They have a general resistance to anything involving the soft side, and that's where all the leverage is. Every failure involves the human element.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've done is taken and put soft side development in terms that technical people can understand and relate to, because I'm a technical person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for example, this thing called team social context that is the enormously powerful force in all this, I make a metaphor between that and a magnetic field. And so I demonstrate how social forces affect behaviors analogously to the way magnetic fields affect ferromagnetic materials. And technical people can look at that and say, well, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was at Colorado in the business school, a fellow dropped a paper on my desk one day. I was in the management department with about 24 other professors. And I picked it up, and it said there's been 7,000 books and articles written about leadership. And I think what he was trying to say to me is, who in the world are you to think you're going to make a contribution in a field like this? And so I thought about it, and I said, well, I've got two things different. First is I've actually had a real job, and most business professors haven't worked much, business school professors. But more importantly, I think like a physicist. And I was just pondering this, and a thought came to mind from my undergraduate days that said, if you can pick the right coordinate system, you can turn an impossible problem into two really hard ones. So I began to ponder whether it was possible to create a coordinate system to analyze, that is, separate into simpler parts, the underlying aspects of teams and leadership that make them effective. So I spent most of a summer playing with this, but getting nowhere. So one morning I saw a Dilbert cartoon, and it said, every consultant makes his living with a 2x2 matrix. And I said, aha, I've made this too complicated. It's an XY system. So the coordinate system approach takes and separates everything into four core elements that come from Jungian psychology. And every technical person looks at that and says, oh, I get it. It's a coordinate system. I'm familiar with that.
Right.
I'm familiar with using this to simplify technical problems. Instead, we're using it to simplify social problems. So that's the core of the whole approach. And the four things are what we call the four dimensions. And by the way, I'm a physicist. I know this is not a four-dimensional space. It's just a term that seems more alive than quadrants.
Mm-hmm.
And here are the four things that people need. And by the way, this is in a diagram.
Well, I'll tell you what, Charlie, why don't we hold that thought? Let me take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about those four dimensions in a moment. Dr. Charles Pellerin, my guest, he's author of the book, How NASA Builds Teams, Mission Critical Soft Skills for Scientists, Engineers, and Project Teams. And we'll hear about those four dimensions with Dr. Pellerin when In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
A better way. You'll find it at Midas. It's the way we listen and do more than you expect. Come to Midas for an oil change and we'll rotate your tires and visually check your brakes, all for just $24.99. It's our way of keeping car maintenance simple and keeping you as a customer. People and prices you can count on. That's the Midas touch.
Up to 5 quarts conventional oil, taxes and synthetics extra. Shop fees may apply. Most vehicles at participating Midas.
Bad moves in the teen years. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. In the great race of life, a bad start in the teen years raises the risk of an early finish. At the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Denise Eaton has been looking at data on the health habits of teenagers. Poor habits can contribute to life-shortening conditions in adulthood, such as heart disease. Eaton says there are some encouraging trends, such as fewer students using unhealthy weight control methods. She also says parents can encourage teens to eat better and exercise more.
For example, nearly half of high school students have ever smoked cigarettes. About three-quarters are not eating enough fruits and vegetables. And over 80% did not get enough physical activity.
The data are in CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. Learn more at HHS.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Newsmakers on the Dorabeck Insider with Chris Dorabeck.
Phil Bond is the president and CEO of Tech America.
Nobody wins when programs fail. We have announced the formation of a commission chaired by Linda Gooden from Lockheed Martin and Steve Kelman of Harvard, who knows a thing or two about this given his service in the Clinton administration. We're going to serve those right up to folks on a well-thought-out, vetted discussion of some of the big issues and what the government could do to meet with success.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Dorabeck Insider.
Federal News Radio in a Web 2.0 world. Find Federal News Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/FedNewsRadio or join the Federal News Radio group on Facebook. Chat with our team and make connections with others in the federal arena. Email us at fnrcomment@federalnewsradio.com. Visit our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.
We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Dr. Charles Pellerin. He is a former director of NASA's Astrophysics Division and author of the book, How NASA Builds Teams, Mission-Critical Soft Skills for Scientists, Engineers, and Project Teams. You can find more about the book at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And one of the things that we'll link up for you there, Dr. Pellerin, is your website, 4-dsystems.com, 4dsystems.com, where you talk about the four dimensions that you alluded to before we went to the break. Talk about those four dimensions and the implications for team building.
Sure, Francis. It's physicists like things that are simple and fundamental. And so when I was doing this work, I was looking for the simplest and most fundamental components of what every team needs and what every leader needs to provide to people. And here they are. The first one we call cultivating, and we color it green. We find people love these color codes to refer to these things, and it basically means valuing and feeling valued. And if you're not sure about that, think of a relationship you were in where you didn't feel appreciated, and what was that like? The second need right after it, and this is in Maslow's need hierarchy, is to feel a sense of including and belonging. The third need is to have a realistic and hopeful future. And the fourth need is to know what's expected of you and to be able to do it. So everything we do teaches teams how to meet those needs for their teammates and themselves, and how leaders provide those things for their teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's the core of our work.
And talk about the assessment. Your book says you can conduct that assessment at no charge at the website that we'll link up at federalnewsradio.com. I'm fascinated by the web component that you've added to this, and I'm wondering, is that because of the attempt to make these ideas and concepts attractive to people who are in the scientific community?
Well, actually, I'm going to tell an ugly little truth. Business books don't work. If business books worked, our workplaces wouldn't be such messes. And the reason is that all that matters in the end is behavioral change, and intellectual learning is a very poor stimulant for behavioral change. But assessments are very powerful because they bring your attention to your, that people's perceptions of your behaviors or your team's perceptions of behavioral norms. And another expression I like is where attention goes, power flows. And so I couldn't live in my own personal integrity and put out a business book that would just be an interesting read. And by the way, I've got 41 five-star reviews for the book right now on Amazon, and I don't have that many friends and family. So I felt like I had to offer an assessment with it because I think probably the when I had to write a proposal trying to get an agent and editor for my book, I kind of for the first time in my life had to, I'm not going to say exaggerate, but I had to write down in its fullest glory what I accomplished. And I looked at that and I was quite amazed. And I said, how did I do this? Because I don't consider myself an extraordinary person or from a wealthy family or anything like that. And I think it's because I've always been able to connect to purpose. And my purpose now is taking these processes out into the world. And the federal government would be great home territory for me, having been a federal employee so long and been very happy as a federal employee. And so that's what I'm up to. So the book is a way to start to make a change in the world. And if I can do that, that's all I need.
What do you think the difference is for somebody that's been in your shoes, who understands how the government operates and understands the parameters that a manager needs to work in, compared to the people who are writing those 7,000 other management books that you talked about?
Well, you know, I have to say one thing. It's very popular for politicians to make points bashing government workers. I've worked in the government 30 years, and I've also consulted and worked closely with private industry for 15 years. The government workers work as hard as anybody I know. They're as dedicated as anybody I know. And what I can tell you is that government workers want to do a good job as much or more than anybody else anywhere. So I'm able to bring the perspective of, I think, a very positive and very optimistic and upbeat viewpoint to the work I do in the federal government. I'm actually going to be trying to meet with some fairly senior executives in the administration soon and offer them this work at prices so cheap that they can't afford to try it, and if they try it, they're going to find that they can dramatically increase the efficiency of any team. The technical team market is there because I'm a technical person, and there's very, as you mentioned before, there are very, very few systems that appeal to technical people. But this is a manual for everyday life. Use this for your marriage or anything.
And that was actually going to be my last question for this segment, and that is this: it might sound to the average person who's hearing this that this is geared maybe ultimately, maybe only exclusively towards scientific people, but going through the book, I didn't find that to be the case at all. I agree with you that the principles here can be applied to anybody that runs a team of anything.
Well, let me tell you what I'm up to. My next piece here I'm going to do is build a modified version of our tools to use for family counseling, and it's going to be free. And we're going to take the same language we use for team assessments, and we're going to lower it down to where children, I've got other people helping me with this because my children are 40 years old, where we can get the youngest possible children. And I imagine a team assessment with the extended family, the mother, father. I've also got people who are urging me to do this. They want to use it for drug addiction counseling, and I'm going to make it all free. I don't need to make money off of that. So that's where I'm going next.
Dr. Charles Pellerin, my guest on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. He's author of the book, How NASA Builds Teams, Mission Critical Soft Skills for Scientists, Engineers, and Project Teams. And he is former director of NASA's Astrophysics Division. Back to wrap up our conversation about the language of the book and how to speak to each of these groups when In Depth with Francis Rose continues.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
A new public website has been launched by the Department of Energy, designed to promote a better understanding of gasification technology, an increasingly popular alternative to converting feedstocks like coal and biomass into useful products such as electricity or fuels. Officials say gasification is anticipated to be the technology of choice for future near-zero emissions coal-based plants. The process uses heat, pressure, and steam to convert any carbon-based raw material into synthesized gas. The website, dubbed Gasifapedia, contains both introductory and in-depth information. You'll find the new Gasifapedia through the Department's Energy Lab website at www.netl.doe.gov.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
1,500 people are dead in Pakistan because of flooding, and the Pentagon is dispatching several helicopters from Afghanistan to transport relief supplies and refugees. Four CH-47 Chinooks and two UH-60 Blackhawks will be sent over. Bad weather hindered their arrival yesterday, but they're expected to begin their work today. Pakistan has repeatedly rejected, at least publicly, a U.S. military presence on the ground, but in this case, the government said yes. I'm J.J. Green.
There's a lot of talk about thinking outside the box. But what about thinking inside the box? Airink is a company that looks at every angle when solving problems. In fact, Airink recently helped convert regular cargo containers into sophisticated air traffic and communications control facilities for use abroad, combining the shipping box and actual equipment into one turnkey system. Imagine that. Log on to www.arinc.com to learn more.
Which agency has the best food or cafeteria? Who has the best gym? What about the agency with the best overall location, the best parking or transportation options? Who's the best dressed Fed you know? Federal News Radio is having some fun this summer with our Best of the Federal Government feature. Throughout the summer, we'll ask you to vote for your favorites. Voting has officially begun. Go to federalnewsradio.com and search for Best Of. That's federalnewsradio.com, keyword Best Of.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for August is Vehicles for Change, a nonprofit organization repairing and providing donated cars to low-income families. A car is the most valuable poverty-fighting tool that can be provided to a low-income family, and Vehicles for Change has awarded over 3,200 cars since 1999. The car increases the opportunity for better employment and family activities never before possible. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com. The Community Spotlight is brought to you by Ackerman Security Systems.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Just a few minutes left with Dr. Charles Pellerin, former director of NASA's Astrophysics Division and author of the book How NASA Builds Teams. And as I said before the break, this is an interesting book because it speaks to just about anybody at just about any level. You make a fascinating transition from a story about Gandhi in Chapter 6 to a story about Jerry Garcia, Charlie, so I give you a lot of credit for making that transition. And speaking of that, you talked in the first segment of this interview about coming up with terminology and using language that was understandable to the scientists and engineers at NASA. And I'm curious, that's the whole concept of how to convey ideas to people in a language, in a manner that they'll understand is fascinating. Did you find that hard to do, or because of your background, was it easy for you to speak to the scientists and engineers and maybe finding it a little more challenging to branch out to other areas?
Well, you know, Francis, this is fascinating. In the technical world, we have a common language. There's one calculus, it's Newton's, the people who invent other ones, but we all still use that. There's one theory of thermodynamics. So I can go any place in the world, and I can sit down with any physicist and instantly talk about the entropy or enthalpy or first derivative, and we all know exactly what we're speaking of. There's no such thing in the social world. There's no common vocabulary. There's no common words. And so I've had to invent terms and then use technical metaphors to give them meaning. That's a key element of our approach, and it makes sense to people because even people who aren't technically trained understand the notion of a magnetic field and how you can't feel it with your hand, but you can probably in third grade you put a piece of paper over a bar magnet and sprinkle iron filings and you can see the force. And then talking about social fields that affect people's behaviors the same way and how to measure and modify social fields to get high performance. And this is just kind of fun.
Dr. Pellerin, I wish we had more time to talk about this, and I really appreciate the time that you've given me so far. This book is called How NASA Builds Teams, Mission Critical Soft Skills for Scientists, Engineers, and Project Teams. When you flip the book over, you see recommendations from all kinds of people who have a lot of experience in the federal government and working with the federal government who highly recommend this book. And I'll have more information posted about it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later on this afternoon. Dr. Pellerin, I really appreciate your time to come on and talk about these things with me today, and I wish you continued success with the projects that you are working on now.
That was a great interview. Thank you, Francis.
I appreciate your time, and Dr. Pellerin's book available through a link that we'll post later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, as well as archiving this conversation for you to listen to anytime you like. It's In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, when the program continues in hour number two. How is the government tracking the spending that your agency is doing on the Recovery Act, and how are they making sure that as little of it as possible is being lost to waste, fraud, and abuse? Danny Werfel, a controller at the Office of Management and Budget, will talk about that issue along with Earl Devaney of the RAT Board, all on the way in hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.